everyone. Belief drives action. Our belief in God needs to drive action, needs to change our lives. Like the incredible faith of Joshua that drove him to clear out the land of Canaan so that Israel could move in. Joshua and Israel's incredible faith, it pushed them through the long, arduous war campaign to clear out the Canaanites. But when Joshua died, the faith, the belief of the people waned. And it didn't drive them. They didn't have the drive to clear out the land of Canaan anymore. And because of their lack of belief, in Judges 1, we see that the people started to deviate from God's command. And several tribes don't clear out the inhabitants of the land. And in Judges 2, God responds and says, because you didn't clear out the inhabitants, I'm going to leave them there. And they're going to be a thorn in your side. Because you didn't listen to me, they're going to remain, and they're going to be a thorn in your side. While I was in Ireland a few weeks ago, I was reading through the first couple of chapters in Judges, and I was wondering what to speak about tonight. How could I incorporate this in? And a couple hours later, I got my answer. I was viciously attacked by some stinging nettles there, and so I got some direction. I don't know if you have stinging nettles here. It seems like a lot of things want to maim you or kill you here, but I don't know if it like makes the mark. It might be too gentle to actually survive here. But anyways, this monstrous weed came out of nowhere and it injected me with like this toxic chemicals, with its hypodermic needles. My leg was on fire. I barely made it out alive. If you come across them, they're probably a lot smaller, but you know, just. So anyways, I noticed this burning sensation in my ankle, and I looked down, I was like, ah, poop, I'm standing in some stinging nettles. That's unfortunate. And so I thought to myself, man, I hate thorns. But also I thought a little more intellectually, and I was thinking, why would the Israelites leave the Canaanites in the land? When they were going to be a thorn in their side, why wouldn't they just obliterate them, wipe them out like God said? Why would they leave them there? Well, because in Judges 1, the people came up with a much better alternative than to what God wanted. Three of the tribes of Israel, they defeated the inhabitants, but they said, you know what, we can just keep them there and make some money off them. We'll put them under tribute. All they had to do was really tweak what God wanted from them, and they could greatly benefit from it. And oftentimes, we can just tweak so slightly what God wants from us so that we can benefit, so it's easier for us. We can kind of blur this principle, say this white lie, cover things up ever so slightly. It's like someone in the meeting saying, hey, can you come over and help on Saturday morning? I'm moving to a new house. Can you help? And you're like, ooh, I'd love to, but I got an appointment Saturday morning with my bed until noon because I'm going to be sleeping in it. And you're like, well, you know, I kind of said the truth. Just blur that just ever so slightly. But we can tweak things so that we benefit from it. And that's what some of Israel did. They slightly changed what they were supposed to do so they could benefit. And some of the other tribes of Israel, they decided it was just too much work to wipe out the inhabitants and said, well, why don't we just live amongst them? They're probably good people. They're not that bad. Like, they already have this nice industry set up, jobs, everything. We just come and join in. It'll be so much more convenient. But the thing is, God's ways aren't always the most convenient. You know, if you're in university and you have this option of living at home that's an hour, hour and a half from the campus, but you can still go to meeting and everything, or you have the option to live on campus in slight isolation, well, you have that tough decision. It's not always going to be convenient to serve God. And the challenge was for Israel that these options to put the inhabitants under tribute or to live amongst them, it was very attractive. It was super convenient. It'd be so much easier than what God asked of them. But just like a rose bush that has these beautiful flowers and you get close and then all of a sudden you get stabbed in the nose by these killer thorns. The attractive option, it sucked in Israel to live amongst the Canaanites, but soon the thorns came out and they intermarried with the Canaanites and they pulled them away from God and they started worshiping and bowing down to the idols there. And because of these thorns, many of Israel will not be in the kingdom. they will not be given eternal life because they didn't get rid of the thorns when they had the chance. These thorns weren't initially visible, though. The people got sucked in and didn't even realize the damage that was happening to their spiritual focus. Christ says in Matthew 13 and 22 that the thorns of life can choke the word out of us. And we might not even realize that that's happening. This is what happened to Israel, and it happens in our lives as well. The question to us is, what thorns do we have in our lives? Because sometimes these things are attractive, and we don't see them for the real danger that they really are. Some aspects of the world can be enjoyable. They can be seemingly helpful. Some are beautiful. But at some point, we realize that they're actually detrimental to our spiritual mindset, and they pull us away from God. Is it the Netflix account that we have? Getting home from work or school and popping down like a blob on the couch, eating some donuts and chips? It's good. Turn off the brain. Maybe it's the music, the concerts that we attend. Could be the sports team that we're on. It's a lot of fun to play, but the team's principles not really in gelling with what God is all about. Maybe it's our friends at school or our coworkers. We get along with them really well, but none of the relationship is based on God's ways. I know even the thought of uprooting some of these things is scary, because I think about this as well. At work at the windshield wiper factory where I work, I get along phenomenally with my manager, Brian. He knows all about me. Sorry, there's a fruit fly here. just waving. Yes, yes. They say use your hands a lot. It gets people involved. No. So I really get along with my manager. Just great. He knows all about me, my interests, my beliefs, all of that. But he's an atheist. We get along so well, we make fun of each other all day. It's wonderful. But he doesn't believe in God, so much of our relationship can't really be based on God's truth. And so I hope that changes. I pray about that. But at the end of the day, I have to make sure he doesn't pull me away from God at all. Maybe the thorn in our life is a relationship we're in with another girl or a guy that it's not really walking down a godly path. They're a lot of fun. They make us feel great. But they're kind of pulling us away from the kingdom. And just because someone is a Christadelphian, I hate to say this, but it's the truth, doesn't mean they're going to help us to be fruitful on our walk. Or it can be challenging if we haven't found a partner yet. As we get older, we feel like we missed the boat. I can relate to this in some ways. You miss the opportunity in the ecclesia, and so you start kind of looking elsewhere. Looking around at work or at school. And when people start showing us that attention, it feels good. It's like this resident engineer from Mexico I have back at work. Her name is Deanna, a cute woman. And so, you know, she comes in the morning and she's like, oh, good morning. And I'm like, okay. You know, and these things, they feel good. They're fun. But at the end of the day, if we continue playing with fire, we're going to get burned. These thorns, whatever they are for us, can hinder our spiritual minds and take us away from living in God's kingdom. So think about what thorns need uprooting in your life as we're motivated here at Study Week. Because now we have the passion. Now we have the belief, as we've looked at it today, the belief that drives to make changes in our lives. These are some of the struggles I've had and still deal with. Imagine they're probably similar to you. I know we live on the other side of the planet and the other side of the equator and the toilet flushes the opposite direction and all that. But I think we're pretty similar in our struggles. So think about what thorns you have in your lives. Proverbs 22 and 5 says, thorns and snares are in the way of the wicked. He who guards his soul will be so far from them. So we need to get the thorns out of our path. Rip them out completely. So there's no sign of them to hurt us anymore. Not like Israel leaving the Canaanites there that ended up destroying many of them. Rip out the thorns. in the Garden of Eden, thorns were introduced. Literal thorns and thorns of temptation that test us to see whether we serve flesh or we serve God. And God has asked us to cut these thorns out, to believe in him, and to let that belief drive us to make changes, to cut out these thorns. And so if we live without them now, he will welcome us into an age where there are no more thorns. There will be no more temptation or sorrow, but our sadness will actually be turned to joy. Those that have died will be raised anew. Our physical injuries, they will be healed. Our mental weakness will be corrected. And our emotional deficiencies will be fulfilled. Let's make the changes in our lives now while there still is time. Because our Lord Jesus is coming soon, so soon. And he is going to turn this world upside down into something incredible that we desperately, desperately want to be there.